Hello, beloved, and welcome to this Bible study where we are looking at Christ, our example. This is part two in our Bible study series of Christ as our example. Now, specifically when we look at Christ as an example for us to follow, I think it's important that we need to understand that we have to conform to the example of Christ. Okay, so we need to become what Christ sets the example for us to be. It doesn't just help us looking at Christ and saying, wow, what an example. That's not what it's all about in Scripture. No, what happens is we need to look at Christ as our example, and then we need to be, let's call it, conformed to the example of Christ. We need to look at Christ and then become like Him in the example that He sets for us. So what we're going to do in this Bible study is we're going to take a look at what we need to conform to. What should we look like when we look at Christ as our example? Before we continue, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that we have Christ Jesus as our as our Savior, pardon me. And thank You so much that we have Jesus Christ as our example, that we can follow Him, that we can see what perfection looks like, that we can see what is actually the best example that we can follow that exists. So Father, I want to pray this morning as we look at at the example of Christ and to be conformed to that example. I pray, Father, please, we open up your word to us so we may understand. Enable us to take to heart that which You share with us in Your word and apply it to our lives as we look at the example of Christ. And enable me as Your servant to teach Your people, I pray, Father, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, I think the first thing that we need to say to one another is, when we look at the example of Jesus Christ, I think if we need to conform to something about the example of who He is and the example that He set for us, I think we need to conform to His holiness. I think that's the thing that stands out the greatest, is the fact that Christ is holy. Now, listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. It says, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Pardon me. This is amazing. Now, obviously, it's speaking about being holy as God is holy. But remember that Jesus Christ, the God-man, fully God, fully man at the same time, He was perfectly holy. Even when He was on this earth, in His human nature, He lived a sinless life. All right, so we need to remember that. Okay, so when we get this instruction by Peter that comes from the Old Testament, he says that as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Now, beloved, our new nature is basically defined by holiness. That's the reality. We live holy lifestyles because we are associated with a holy God. I mean, we glorify Him the most if we become more like Him. And when the text tells us, be holy for I am holy, and that we are called to be holy in all of our conduct, if we really want to glorify God in our lives, if we really want to exalt Him, if we really want to say that we are following the example of Jesus Christ, holiness will be one of those things. Living a holy, godly life. Now, living the kind of lifestyle that is pleasing to God. That will reflect through our lives. Now, it's a command for believers to be holy because God is holy. No? I mean, we are part of God's family. So we need to basically resemble Him. We need to resemble His holiness. How can we say that we are part of God's family? How can we say that God the Spirit dwells within us, but then we live like the devil, or we live like the world? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that you profess to be part of the kingdom of God and profess to have God as your Lord and Savior, to profess to have Christ as our example, to basically have the scriptures that tells us to be holy like He is holy, but then we resemble something completely different. No, beloved, we need to resemble who God is. We need to conform to the example of Christ. We need to become holy like Christ Jesus was holy on this earth. Now, what is important here is that we are to conform to His standard of holiness. Now, you see, God doesn't have to conform to our standard. God actually doesn't have to conform to anything or anyone. We are to conform to His standards. And I mean, we cannot change God's standards of holiness to suit us. And I see that so often, that people that profess to be believers, they change God's standard of holiness the whole time. It's basically God that has to conform to our standards rather than us that has to conform to His standards. You see, we cannot drop the standard of God. We cannot drop the standard of His holiness because it doesn't feel right for us, or because we feel that the standard is too high. No, God set the standard. We have to be holy as He is holy. And it's amazing that it says in all of our conduct. Now, beloved, it's only possible if and when the Holy Spirit works it in us. Now, the passage reads, it says, "Be holy, for I am holy, and be holy in all your conduct." Now, this is a tall order. This is the impossible. God is asking the impossible from frail, sinful human beings. But beloved, remember, it doesn't take away the standard that God expects from us. God expects holiness. He expects godliness from us. God's standard is His standard. He gave us the example, and the example is Christ. So even though it's a tall order, you know, to be holy in all of our conduct, and to be holy as God is holy, and even though we can look at it and say it's impossible, it is God who made it possible. God is the enabler, in the sense that the Holy Spirit is the one who works it in and through us. You see, we are only able to reflect the holiness of God because God, the Holy Spirit, is dwelling in us. And He is the one who enables us to reflect that holiness. Now, we need to remember that as we live our Christian lives, as we desire to conduct ourselves in such a way to reflect God's holiness, as we have a desire to live for Him every single day, the Holy Spirit will work it in us to resemble Christ Jesus more and more and more in our lives. But if we don't care, if we just, I live like the world, I act like the world, I do what the world does, and all these kind of things, we are not going to reflect the holiness of Christ. We are not going to reflect the example that has been set before us. We are not going to conform to His holiness. Yet, that is the call of Scripture. Is be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Okay, but not only do we need to conform to God's holiness, you know, as we look at the example of Jesus Christ. No. We need to conform to His righteousness as well. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, we read, "He who says he abides in Him Now that means a person that says that he basically lives in Christ, that he is saved, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Here's the call again. So anybody that says that he or she is saved, if that person is really truly saved, should walk as Jesus walked. You see, there's the conduct, our conduct that needs to conform to what Christ looks like. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29 says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So if we know that he is righteous, then we know that everybody that does what he says or does what he does, that lives a righteous life because Jesus lived a righteous life, then we know those people who live righteous lives, they are born of him. The opposite is then also true, that those who do not live righteous lives, it is obvious that they are not born of Christ. Does that make sense? You see, righteous living should become a habit. It should not become, it should actually be a habit in the life of a believer. Beloved, we know that Christ Jesus is righteous. So therefore, we should become more and more and more righteous. I mean, we have Christ's imputed righteousness, obviously. And that's through faith in him. That means we have his righteousness in exchange for our sin. That's imputed righteousness. He gave it to us as a gift. We have that righteousness. So we are right with God because of what Christ did on our behalf. Okay, that's justification by faith. I am justified, just as if I have not sinned. I have been set right with God through faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. That is something that is imputed. That's something that we receive by faith in Christ Jesus. But when we talk about righteous living, that is something different. That's not imputed righteousness. That is living from the imputed righteousness that we have received. I mean, we are declared right before God through faith in Jesus Christ. But that does not mean that we will automatically live righteous lives. You see, our imputed righteousness by faith is basically the enabling factor which makes it possible for us to live right before God. We are still to faithfully, obediently live the kind of lives which are pleasing to God. Live right before him. See that we are right in all our conduct. I mean, it would have been nice, you know, to have God's life or God live his righteousness through us, you know, in the sense of we don't have to do anything, it just happens. And then when we mess up and we don't live a righteous life, we can just say, wow, you see, God didn't live his righteousness through us enough, so we can blame God for not living up to the standard, for living up to the standard that he set in his word for us. Beloved, the thing is that God the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to live righteous lives. To live lives that are right before God, that are acceptable before God. Now, as we imitate the example of Jesus Christ, now his righteous example, as we imitate it, we are living the kind of life that is pleasing unto God. Now we can either obey the Holy Spirit or we can disobey the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's something that we can choose, no? But the thing is, we are called to imitate Christ. We are called to do what he did. We are called to follow his example. You know, and we are called to become more Christ-like. That's what God is doing in our character, is to change us into the image of Christ. So what we need to do is to make sure that we obey him. We need to obey the Holy Spirit as he works the life of Christ, his righteousness, his example in and through us. And sometimes we have this wrestling within us. We have this battle within us, now, between the flesh that actually wants to do its own thing and the Spirit of God who wants to do His own thing. It's actually the right thing. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to do the right thing, but there's this battle within us. So we need to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to follow the example of Christ? Or am I going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit that is guiding me and leading me and directing me into the way that I'm supposed to go? Okay, so not only should we conform to God's holiness and His righteousness, as we follow the example of Christ, we actually also need to conform to His purity. We read in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, he says, "And everyone who has this hope in him," and this hope is Christ, eh? Anyone who has Christ in him, that means the Holy Spirit dwelling within that person. He says, that person purifies himself just as he is pure. Once again, Christ is pure, and if anyone have the hope, we have Christ in him or her, that person will purify himself or herself. Why? Because Christ is pure. You see, beloved, there's going to be a day, and it's obviously yet future, that we will be Christ-like. We will be like Christ Jesus. And because of this fact, we as believers should have this desire in us to become like Him now. Not just one day when we go to heaven. Oh, I want to be like Christ when I go to heaven. No, I want to follow His example now. It's like a little child. It's always so beautiful looking at children following their parents on the sand. You know, the parents walk on the sand, and you see sometimes the children, they would try to put their little footsteps in the footsteps of their parents. It is so beautiful. Why? Because that's their example. Their parents are the ones that they look up to. So they start following in their parents' footsteps. And we need to do the same thing. We need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We should live the kind of life where we are actually consciously being purified. And we should be consciously being purified, but also we should be purifying kind of ourselves from sin. That's not the forgiveness of sin that Christ established for us on the cross. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. It is to consciously live a life pure from sin. That's something that we need to endeavor, something that we need to place ever before us, and that's something that we need to be doing, because we have Christ as our example of what it looks like to be, to live a sinless life. You see, even though our sin has been forgiven in Christ, even though we have been cleansed from the stain of sin by the blood of Christ, and even though we have victory in Christ over the power and the penalty of sin, still, we are in a battle between the flesh and the spirit. My flesh wants to do what is wrong. My spirit man wants to do what is right. You see, I have to decide whether I'm going to walk in the spirit or am I going to walk in the flesh. Now, the thing is, as we walk in the spirit consciously, we are living pure lives before Christ, or we will be. And we need to continuously do that. So not only should we conform to God's holiness and His righteousness and purity, we also need to conform to His love. And we find this written in John chapter 13, verse 34. John 13, verse 34, we read, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now, the kind of love that Jesus is speaking about here is as agape love. Now, it's sacrificial love. And Jesus is the example of this kind of love. And this is within the context as He gave His life for sinners. You see, this is the kind of love that is produced in us by the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift of the Spirit. And only believers have it. You see, we are called by Christ to love the way that He loved us. And that is sacrificial life. It is a love that is willing to lay down my life for a fellow brother or sister. A love that is willing to give even though I do not receive anything in return. It is sacrificial love. Beloved, love as a gift of the Holy Spirit cannot be copycat. You cannot copycat it. You cannot duplicate it if you do not have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. That's why this kind of love is only found in God's people. It's not found in the world. The kind of love that's found in the world is different to the love that we read about in Scripture. And we are called to conform to the love of Christ, to live the love that God works in us as a fruit. Nah? Sacrificially love one another as Christ loved us. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, he says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And 1 John chapter 3 verse 16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Beloved, Jesus set the example, and we need to do the same. We need to have the kind of love that is willing to lay down our lives for our fellow brothers and sisters. Okay, so we've seen that we should not only conform to God's holiness and God's righteousness and His purity, but we should also conform to His love. And this is how, as we conform to the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As we follow the example of Jesus Christ, more and more and more, we will conform to God's holiness, His righteousness, His purity, and I think above all, His love. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And beloved, may it be true in each one of our lives, to the glory of God, as we follow the example of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have this privilege to follow the example of Christ set out for us in Scripture. Enable us, Father, please, to follow His example, the example of His holiness, of His righteousness, of His purity, and above all, His love. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening to this Bible study. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His rest as we conform to the example of Christ in our lives. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.